Norwood. I'd also like to introduce at this time Mr. Mike Corbett. I would introduce you to our scoutmaster, but he worked a long shift last night. He's a sergeant with the Pompey County Sheriff, so he could not be here this morning, but he's here in spirit, believe me. Boy Scout Troop 204 has been here at Lakeside since 1971, and this year marks our 43rd anniversary as a Boy Scout Troop. We're sponsored by Lakeside United Methodist Church, more specifically the United Methodist Men. This group of dedicated Christians has worked with the troop, and each year has made it possible for us to go on extra camping trips and financial assistance. We really appreciate their help, and they're making a good, positive impact on the lives of many of our boys. How awesome it is that an organization like Boy Scout Troop 204 can help shape young men in the world we now find ourselves in. Lakeside opens the door for the boys and presents opportunities, positive role modeling, and hopefully good decision making when it comes time to make the right choice. Over the past 40 years to state years, the troop has a long tradition of appreciation of the great outdoors, camping, hiking, survival skills, and scouting traditions. Our troop has survived because of the help of selfless and dedicated parents that are behind the scenes and leaders who believe in our community. And you folks here at Lakeside hopefully will help us continue our proud tradition of scouting. With that, I'd like to thank the congregation. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Thank you. that as our sermon. We're running a little long, so I think that'll do it. We'll read scripture and go home. Hey, who's that over there? We're continuing in our book this week from Will Owen, Why Jesus? I hope some of you, all of you, have purchased the book and are reading along as we continue this sermon series. It's a very good revelation on perspective of the different aspects of Jesus in our life. Here's the scripture this morning. It comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Now these words can be a little tough sometimes, but hear these words. Instead, love your enemies, do good and live, expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act. For He is kind, ungrateful, and wicked people. I think we better pray on that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've heard the scripture this morning, and sometimes that seems a little hard for us. Father, I pray that the message this morning would open our hearts to the peacemaker in each of us. Father, I give you all praise and glory this morning. Amen. This is a first for me today. I'm going to be preaching from an iPad. I blew it up, Lord. Maybe not necessarily by choice, but by necessity this morning. You know, we read that scripture this morning. I don't always want to do that, do you? What is God telling us through these words? How about these words from Jesus? I haven't come here to bring peace to the world. I've come to turn father against son, mother against daughter. Someone who never raised a sword, even in self-defense. His words this morning are pretty powerful. Wilman's book, as we've read through this chapter this week, we don't necessarily see Jesus as a peacemaker. When he comes initially, things are really out of control, aren't they? There's peace in Jesus after a period of time, but initially, that peace just doesn't seem to be there. Did Jesus confront people? Did he go to the temple and turn over tables? Yes, he did. The Prince of Peace was a threat to the world as the world gives its peace, wasn't he? You know, we pray in Luke, in our Christmas story, Luke tells us how the sky is filled with these angels just singing the glory of God. What does it say, Luke? The Prince of Peace has been born. In Matthew, do we remember the story, the Christmas story in Matthew? This new king brought death and destruction, didn't it? Wasn't there a decree put out that all male children were to be slaughtered? Would the Prince of Peace bring that kind of message to the world? We understand now why this account in Matthew is not part of our beautiful Christmas nativity set, is it? There was an uprising in the area at the time of Jesus' birth, and there was over 2,000 Jews slaughtered because of this uprising. And as word went out that a king had been born, they wanted to put a stop to it. The Romans didn't need a new king. Let's look at Mary. Didn't she have a peaceful life before Jesus came into her life? Poor Mary. Look at Mary. This baby coming into the world was coming to liberate God's people. Who did they come to? The least and the lost. During Christmas, I preached about this. The poor people, the marginalized, the shepherds out in the field that had the lowliest job there was the messenger of a newborn king. The Jewish people thought their Messiah would come on a war horse. He would raid the royal army. He would defeat the Romans. And Israel could be set up as the nation it was meant to be. Was Jesus very political? Did Jesus get involved in politics as a peacemaker? What did he do to the politicians? To the religious leaders? He wasn't very kind and nice to them, was he? Who was he to bring peace to? In the temple courts where he came and turned over the tables? This peacemaker seemed to be a rabble rouser. But as I said earlier, what comes with that unpeacefulness, is that a word? Is unpeacefulness a word? David the Baptist can make a new word. I mean, David the Methodist can make a new word. Being necessary. On the night that Jesus was arrested and taken to the cross, the soldiers came, and what did he do? He mocked them. Why have you come armed to the teeth to come and arrest an unarmed rabbi? Were they afraid of his power? His followers were unarmed, all but for one. Who was that?
Peter.
Peter. Now, I don't know how big a sword Peter had. Their clothes didn't seem overwhelming. But somewhere, all of a sudden, Peter could produce a sword. He must have been a pretty good shot if he just got a nick of the ear. But let Jesus respond. Those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. Now we're starting to hear a little bit of the peacemaker coming out of Jesus. The rock that Jesus was to build his church had broken one of the rules, didn't he? But Jesus loved him through all that. So to call Jesus a Prince of Peace is sort of an oxymoron, isn't it? Those of us in our faith walk and on our journey, we pray for the Prince of Peace to deliver us someday. These folks that have passed away this week have met the Prince of Peace up close and personal. And that's what each of us strive to do. We live our life in a way that brings us into God's glory. That's why the scripture today of our neighbors, loving our neighbors, treating others better than we treat ourselves, is that our human nature? How do you all feel about that? I work hard for what I got, and it's mine. That's not the message that Jesus brought forth. You know, the source of a lot of mayhem in our world today is brought about by religionism. Is the unpeacefulness going before us as well as we speak today? It's always there, isn't it, in our world? And the bloodiest wars, the worst atrocities are done in the name of God. That can't be so, can it? Is that what Jesus said? He was unarmed. How could there be this widespread violence and warring nation against nation if everyone had beat their swords into plowshares How would that work? So this whole idea of Jesus as a peacemaker all of a sudden doesn't seem quite so far-fetched. We pray for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Is that on a Christmas card somewhere? In Matthew's Christmas card, it will say, "Hide your boys, here he comes." And for those of you that cause some trouble, we're going to come and massacre you. The Prince of Peace was there before that. As a little baby, we're getting back into the Christmas story. So Jesus comes and he hangs on a bloody cross for us. The followers, what did they do? They didn't know what to do. They ran and hid. They went back to the house and climbed in and locked the doors and bolted the window and waited. What were they waiting for? Were they waiting for that Savior to come on his white horse and come riding into town? We know 3 days later, the women went to the tomb and he wasn't there. He wasn't there. The Prince of Peace had suddenly vanished before their eyes. What this story tells us is that Jesus never left them. I told you last week that first sermon was preached by women. They went back and told the others. What happened when they told them? They had to see for themselves. They raced back to the tomb. So Jesus is a peacemaker in our world today. Comes from a rabbi, a teacher. Any teachers in the group, do you demand as much from your students as Jesus did from his? We're giving it all for Jesus, aren't we, if we say yes to the call? So as we ponder this today, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, love your neighbor and you'll have peace. Treat everyone good and you'll have peace. But it's true. It's hard for us in our society and our culture today to wrap our heads around that. The message of Jesus Christ is that of a peacemaker. He really had no money. He didn't have a penny to his name, as they say. Never had his own roof over his head. But wherever he went, even in the discourse and the trauma and tragedy that maybe went before him, he was there as a peacemaker. So that's what I want you to go home with today is, where can you be a peacemaker in your world today? A Jew from Nazareth is the Savior of the world. And that's who we need to be reaching out to, looking up to, examining our life. In our baptism this morning, we read about how it's each one of us' responsibility to help that child grow in her faith, in her service to others, and to love her neighbor. That's a big responsibility to put on a group of people, isn't it? But you have to take it seriously. We've all got a call. And today our call is to raise and be there for Cyrene as she faces her trials and tribulations in her life, which we know will come. That her church family will be there for her. Amen? So be a peacemaker today. Wherever that leads you, wherever God presents you, it may not look like a peaceful situation when you get there, but when you leave, make it a little more peaceful. Take that with you today. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the message of peace in our life. Father, bless us now as we go out and be peacemakers in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd love to begin today with please stand.